Welcome to Pardon the Corruption. It's been a long time, but it's been worth the wait because tonight my guest is Don Kingu of ATB News. Welcome, Don.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it. I've been heard about the show, so I'm glad that, you know, I have a chance to come on and, you know, speak my mind.
Yeah. Hey, Matt, I remember one time we met at the Rappers Republic Sportsnet grill party.
Yes.
And your apparel company hooked us up with a bunch of Rappers Republic gear.
Yes.
Not this one that I'm wearing right now, but the other tracksuit and all that came from your brand, ATB News and Six. And tell me the story, if you don't mind me, how I bought one jersey off you, the best looking Raptors jersey I own. And it's not even official Raptors gear. I'll show it as this video is playing. But did you get into trouble for that branding?
I wouldn't necessarily say we got into trouble or anything like that. There was some speculation and, you know, some talks about it. But, you know, it was just a design that we did, and, you know, it caught a lot of attention because it was kind of similar to a Raptor throwback jersey, but it kind of had our own spin to it. And it just kind of caught the city, you know, by like, you know, wildfire, and like everyone wanted it, you know, once we put it out. But yeah, it was just one of those things where we just kind of just got our creative juices going and, you know, put together, you know, a few jerseys. That was just one of them, right? And that was the most popular one, right? So we just kind of ran with it, and it just kind of went from there, you know. So it's definitely one of my favorite jerseys too.
It is one of my best, and like it reminds you of the story when even for this logo that we have, we got into sort of trouble with the Raptors, where they actually came at us for a while back. This is years back,
yeah.
And even after that, when the whole King in the North thing happened, back when DeMar and Kyle made the playoffs after, I don't know, their second time or whatever, they had this King in the North promotion, and we printed all these T-shirts, and we sold 4,000 of them.
Wow.
On Teespring.
Wow.
4,000 T-shirts, and we got the cease and desist, and we couldn't sell a single one. But man, it's crazy how fans come up with some of the best designs.
Yeah, right. And like, I honestly feel like it definitely caught their attention, like for sure. They did contact us about it and about a lot of our other designs, you know, not even just the jerseys. So like, I know we definitely got their attention. Yeah. And they did try to, you know, cease and desist some of our items, but, you know, we weren't really having it because we kind of came up with it ourselves first and really with the idea of nothing to do with them, right? So it kind of just worked out to where, you know, it kind of got similar with the fans' help as well, right? It just blew up. And they just felt the need that they had to come in and, you know, and do something. So, yeah. It is what it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely, it is my favorite Raptors jersey by far. Let's get to the Raptors talk, man. So we're sitting 10th in the standings right now.
Yes.
And, in soccer or in football, there's this concept of a false position where the team is in the Premier League table, maybe, and their position doesn't match their record, so they become dangerous opponents for teams because they're, you know, it's they may be 10. Are the Raptors right now at number 10 in the false position? Like, are they significantly better than what their position indicates?
I like the way you put that. I like the way you put that because I think that's definitely the best way to describe them right now, because I think a lot of people coming into the season would have never thought that we would be in the position that we are right now, right? And I think the way that we're playing right now, we're definitely turning the corner. So that assumption that you made, it fits us perfectly, where our record doesn't show exactly how we are or how we play, right? So I think we can catch a lot of teams off guard, because coming in, they think that, you know, they can just get a win because of our record.
Yeah.
And that's definitely not the case, especially with how we're playing right now. So I see us improving and our record getting a lot better within the week or so. Yeah, especially with the schedule that we have coming up.
We got Orlando again. We're recording this on Monday night, and then after that you got the Nets game. And I remember before the Milwaukee game happened, I was like, you know, man, the NBA season is full of a lot of games that don't mean much, but once in a while a game comes along which you can sort of measure yourself against. Yeah, exactly. Like you win that one, it tells you. And Milwaukee, we sort of failed the test. Mm-hmm. With the Nets coming up, the Raptors sort of
I don't know. You think we failed against Milwaukee?
Well, we lost.
Yeah, we lost, but I feel like we played pretty well. I felt like we competed, mm-hmm. and like we didn't just lie down and just let them like beat us badly or anything like that. I felt like our guys came to play, and like we just a couple things just didn't go our way. Mm-hmm. I felt like we could have took that one.
We could have, but we didn't. Is my larger
moral victory.
Moral victory. I mean, I'm counting actual victories. But with the Nets here, I mean, I like the way the Raptors match up with the Nets, like athleticism-wise, like Stanley Johnson, Watanabe. We'll talk about those guys in a bit. Like, even though they have the star power, I feel like we can trouble them just based on our length and our grittiness and our backcourt being sort of tough. And Siakam like matches up well with them in terms of athleticism. Yeah, they got guys that can probably slow them down. But overall, I like that matchup.
Me too. You bring a good point. We have guys that are gritty and will play defense, and it'll help us because they don't play defense. They have like the worst defensive rating in the whole league, and actually NBA history, from what I've heard. With the points that they allow, so like that's definitely something that plays in our favor, you know, when we match them up, you know. So yeah, these guys can put it up with the best of them. I mean, they do have the best offensive rating as well in NBA history, but like, hey man, defense wins games, in my opinion. And I feel like with our defense and our guys, you know, grittiness and the way to kind of slow down the game, and with Nurse, you know, having all these different types of plays, you know, that kind of, you know, change things up a little bit, that'll definitely give us a shot.
Yeah. And you mentioned the Raptors like turning around their season a little bit. And one of the reasons has been like improved bench play, which was sort of non-existent at the start of the season. And as Nick Nurse continues to like tweak rotations, a couple of guys have emerged. Bembry emerged in the last couple of games, got some fairly major minutes, a guy who's been sitting on the bench for a while. But one guy that's been sort of consistently pretty good for the Raptors has been Watanabe, who came out of nowhere. And like at this point, like he's pretty close to being like coming off the bench as sixth man.
Yeah, man. Like I like the way he's played lately, man. Like it's nothing about left-hand shooters, man. Like I love seeing a left-hand shooter shoot. Like it just looks prettier, you know. And like his shot, every time he puts it up, it looks like it's gonna go in. Like you know when some guys shoot, you're like, ah, okay, yeah, that's not going in. Like,
yeah.
When he shoots, it's like, yeah, that's going in. Like yeah. You know, and it's almost like every time. And he hustles so hard. Like you can tell, like he's been trying to prove himself. Like he's been trying to prove that, yo, I can play and I just need that opportunity. And like you said, he came out of nowhere, because when I saw his name on the roster, I'm like, who the heck is this guy?
Yeah.
Where did this guy come from? At first I thought he was a rookie, and I said, okay, wait, he's been in the league for 3 years, I think. Yeah. And he was with Memphis and didn't see no time.
Yeah.
I'm like, where did we find this guy?
Yeah.
And lo and behold, he can actually play ball and can actually make plays. So it's like he can defend too, different positions. Like you see him defending the pick and roll. Like I'm just like, wow, man, this guy can really be something, you know?
And he's a defender that you don't have to worry about in terms of matchups. Like there are certain guys who are on the floor and you have to hide them.
Yeah. Right?
Because you can't switch here because you might get exploited because of his height or because of lack of quickness. With a guy like him, he has enough length, enough quickness that you don't have to worry about hiding him at all. You can just like let him and play, and he gives you freedom to play whatever defense you want to play. Like the block that he had against Orlando when they ran it back.
Djokovic.
Oh my gosh, that was wow. I was just like, okay. I yelled it and got up in my seat when I seen that. I was like, okay, this guy needs some more playing time, man. Like, I don't think the 905 is gonna get this guy, man. Like, we kind of need him right now. You know? So like, it's good to see this guy get his opportunity and he's balling out. It's you love to see that. You love to see those type of stories, you know.
Yeah,
him and Boucher.
And one thing we know about Nurse, man, is that the guy will prioritize guys who play defense over guys who play offense. I think now, we're 1/3 into the season or something like that. And at this point, you can sort of understand why guys like Matt Thomas don't play. It's because they just don't bring enough defensively. Yeah. Davis is another guy that I feel like has been pretty suspect on defense overall, yet still manages to squeeze in some minutes. Like, I would have very little issue increasing Utah's minutes overall as a team and get him up to like more of a, if not starter, like a high bench player role, because I feel he produces way more in the minutes he plays.
Yeah, I think the reason why like Terrence is getting the minutes is because like a lot of it has to do with Norm being out and OG being out, right? So like he's got to give minutes to somebody, right? Yeah. And he's like the next guy, right? So like he kind of has like his leash is not as bad because Norman and OG are out. If they were in, he would get pulled, you know, like quicker, right? He even kind of turns it over a lot too. Like he has a turnover issue.
Yeah.
But like Utah and Boucher, both of them need a lot more time and probably will get a lot more time because they've been the bright spot, you know, this season so far.
Yeah. And let's talk about the big man just in a bit. But first, I kind of want to touch on Siakam, who's been like a hot rod of like fake controversy, I'll say, because people seem to have like extremely high expectations of the guy. And they're already judging him against like, oh, he's not going to be an elite player. He's not going to be a tier one player. And when it's all said and done, he may not be. But for the last couple of games against whatever opposition, he's played really well. And he seems to have turned the corner. What do you have to say to people who are critical of Siakam's game in this critical juncture of his career?
A lot of them don't really know his game and haven't really been watching his game. You know, those who kind of talk the way they've been talking about him. Siakam is the type of guy, like, you know, he improves every year. He gets better every year. And it's one of those guys that he needs time. You gotta have patience with him. You know, he's not gonna just be the guy. You know, like, you know what, it's his second year of being the guy, like, and not even really his second year, you know, like, you know, so it's like he's gonna need time to polish and pick up the game late. So it's like, you know, like someone like that, you know, like you gotta give him some time, you know, and don't just jump on him every time he messes up or he doesn't come through. You know, there's growing pains with that comes with being the guy, right? Like, you don't just get thrown into that role and you automatically, you know, become the guy. Like, nah, you gotta go through some things, you know.
You gotta
fail, you know. So it's like he's just going through those growing pains. And And, you know, soon, like, and like you said, he may not be that guy, right? You know, he just needs to go through it right now for us to find out if he is or not.
Yeah. And I'd even say, I was looking at some tape from the start of the season to last night's game. And you already can see an improvement in his timing. The way he's finishing in one-on-one situations in isolation with a defender on him. I think he's less predictable today than he was in mid-December. Yeah. So even in a month, you've noticed that he is more anticipating what the defense will fall for and what they might not fall for. And he has a plan B in his game today, a much better plan B in his game today than he had even like a month and a half ago. And that's just him seeing different defenses and just getting adjusted to the game. So even if you measure Siakam by not by year by year improvements, just by month by month improvements, you can still see an improvement in his game compared to a month ago.
Exactly. That's true. And like a lot of it is mental. I think a lot of it was mental for him. And making the adjustment with being away from the ACC, not having no fans, you know, he struggled in the bubble, right? The whole time, right? And like, I feel like Siakam is the type of player that kind of needs fans, right? Yeah. He needs the fans to get going and you know, to boost them and give them a boost, right? So when he didn't have that, and then coming into this season, being in Tampa and starting the season with fans that don't even cheer for you, and then like, you know, like not having no fans, and then pretty much being away the whole time because Tampa isn't your home, right? So that's all an adjustment for him, and like other players adjust to it a lot quicker. Yeah. Some other players adjust to it a lot slower.
Yeah.
Right. And I feel like he was the product of, you know, a player adjusting slower, taking more time to adjust to those circumstances. So I feel like now he's getting a little bit more comfortable with, you know, the situation that they're in, and you can see it's showing, you know?
Yeah. And you brought up a good point about the fans, like, because the Raptors have one of the best home supports in the league, if not the, and you know, a lot of their regular season win total is built on the atmosphere at the ACC and all that stuff. And that is lacking. And now they're the only team because fans are starting to come back into buildings across the league. Like Indiana mm-hmm. the other day had like 4,000 or 5,000 people in the building. Like you see mm-hmm. every arena have that. And the Raptors are still kind of isolated in Tampa. Like I know it's a, you know, 90-foot court and like everybody plays on the, but that's got to have like some sort of impact on you because you really got to pick yourself up. You're not getting any home cooking. As great as Florida is, that can't be that can't bring out the best in you.
Exactly. Like it's part of the game. It's part of the game, right? And if you're not getting that part of the game and every other team is, that's like another thing that you got to fight. Right. So it's just like it's tough, man. It's tough. And like you said, we're the only team in the league that's dealing with this. Right. Like we're the only team that is literally away every game. So it's like it's an adjustment. It's an adjustment. And like I feel like, you know, it's played a lot. It's played a big part to our record.
Yeah.
But I feel the team is definitely turning the corner and they're getting a lot more comfortable with the situation.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about trades. I mean, deadlines coming up in a couple of months or in a month. And I think the same question has been asked by everybody at this point, right? Is that, do you go and you make a small incremental improvement by improving your big man position? Although Baines has played well of late the last few games, I don't know if that's the final solution if you are trying to actually do something productive in the playoffs, or do you go ahead and you gamble away because Washington is bottom of the East right now, you know, there are players available there. Like where's your head at in terms of the type of moves the Raptors should be making? Are we in the moonshot business right now of trying to hit a home run, or are we more in the let's make a couple of tweaks so we kind of buy us more time and do something in the playoffs with a slightly improved roster? Like where's your headspace at?
To be honest, I don't think we're in the business to make that big move. You know, I don't even think it's there, to be honest. I felt like, you know, it was there with Harden when he was available. You know, but now that he's gone, you know, like Beal is the next, you know, like piece, you know, that would just, you know, kind of swing, you know, the tides in the league. But like Washington doesn't seem like they want to, you know, embark in any trade talks with him.
then he doesn't seem like he wants to leave, which is confusing to me. I don't understand why he wants to stay there. But for me, it's like, I guess it's just like you make a little tweak and then, you know, you see what you can do in the playoffs, you know, with the tweaks that you do. Like, because, I mean, we still have a competitive team. You know, I feel like we're just a big man away from, you know, making some noise. And, you know, who knows? Anything can happen. Right? Look at what Miami did in the bubble. Like, I felt like that was a fluke. I don't care what, you know, any Miami fan says to me. That was a product of the circumstance, you know? So, like, if Miami can do something like that and kind of, you know, shock the world, you know, why can't we with a few tweaks?
Yeah. Well, we got to make a few tweaks is the thing. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Beal move just because I don't think it necessarily propels us into another level of a team. And it still results in our big man problem still being there. So I think you sort of have to move on a big man regardless of what your long-term plan are. And though Aron Baynes has played better of late, I just don't see the Raptors being able to have enough compete in them to overcome a 7-game series against anybody with those two there, unless you're playing a team which is equally, you know, in a, you know, not good at that position.
Yeah.
I feel you have to sort of look at, you know, I'm not saying Dwayne Dedmon's the answer, but like,
I literally had him in my head too, because it's like, who's really, what bigs are really available? Like,
yeah,
Drummond's there, but it's like, that's a high price. You know, like who are you really trying to give up for someone like that? Like, to make the salaries match, like, you would have to trade like Lowry or something like that. Like,
yeah. And one guy that has been mentioned in Raptors trade talks in the past has been Vucevic. And we saw him last night. He was not particularly impressive. He doesn't like wet my beak at all in terms of something that I'd like to dip into at all.
True. It's true. But like, with him, it's just like, it's crazy because he's talented. Like, he can be a problem, but it's just some nights. I think it's really against us. He just doesn't play well against us. If you look at his numbers, honestly, it's when he plays the Raptors, he's just trash. Yeah. Like, I don't know what it is. We just have the blueprint on him. Like, but man, this guy, against other teams? Oh my goodness. Maybe if we put him on our team, maybe that's what he needs. Like, I don't know. Like, but that I didn't even really think about him, but like that, I don't know. That would probably wet my beak a little bit.
Not that he's available. I think it's okay to have fantasies, right? Hey, what about this guy? What about that guy? You know what I mean? But like, when it comes down to it, like when you put the numbers together and who's available, it's like Dwayne Dedmon.
Exactly, right? I know, man. Like, there's not, when you really look at it, there's not that many big men out there.
You know? Hassan Whiteside. You know, Hassan Whiteside?
I don't know, man. I don't like his attitude towards
the game. Yeah, me neither.
You know, like,
and if you drop out of the Kings rotation, man, even though they beat us, that says something.
I know, right? That's when you know we're not. If we go get Whiteside, man, oh my gosh. That's not a good sign.
Let me ask you a couple of this rotation question that's coming up, and it's been one of the most fun aspects of the season for me, and I've mentioned it before, is that I absolutely love the unpredictability in the Raptors lineup on who gets to play what night. Like, we mentioned Bembry earlier, Davis was mentioned, Utah obviously is like killing it. You see Malachi Flynn come up once in a while. So there's a lot of variability in who the Raptors are bringing off the bench, as opposed to having like a very proper 7-8 man rotation that most teams kind of operate by. What do you enjoy watching more? Do you have a preference for one? Like, what do you think the Raptors are doing with this helter skelter rotation? And do you care, like, if we don't have a set rotation?
Yeah, I think I can go with that third option. Like, I don't really care as long as it works, you know, and the matchups works. You know, I'm good with it. Like, I 100% trust what Nurse is doing and his feel and everything, right?
I know a lot of it has to do with, you know, with our injuries and stuff like that. And like, you know, why he has to kind of shuffle around a little bit. I feel like once, you know, OG and Norm comes back, you know, he'll have a more solidified, you know, rotation, you know, especially with the players and what they've been showing since those guys have been out. Right. And I think a lot of it is like, hey, you show me you can play defense and you'll play. Right. Like, so I think the way that he's like moving around the rotation is keeping a lot of these players on their toes, right? And keeping them ready, you know. So it's just like, I feel like it's a good way to keep everyone, you know, motivated and the compete level is high, right? It keeps it high. The way that he's you know switching up the rotations here and there, right? So it's just like, I like it, you know, and like I said, I don't really care, you know, like as long as you know, we continue seeing the improvement and, you know, everyone's, you know, playing at a high level. I think I'm a trust Nurse with what he's doing.
Yeah. Let's end off on some Kyle Lowry, man, because I mean, by the way, loved yesterday with Gordon and Lowry, how he came at him. And I mean,
yo, I love that. I love that, man. Like the way, I don't know if you've seen the video of him telling T Ross that, you know, he's gonna mess him up, you know. I was like, yo, man, you can't mess with Lowry, man. You really can't. Like, you really can't. He's a different guy. He's from Philly.
Yeah. And you know, he had a pretty good game yesterday, and the day before I think he was all right as well. So he's picking up steam as we've gone deeper into the season. He's definitely more active on the ball. Overall, not great numbers, but still, if you look at his last five games, he's definitely improved over the previous five. And the Lowry trade is like the big question mark at the deadline, because it's a question of like, do you let his contract expire or do you get something in return? And I think one thing we can all agree on is that we don't make a Lowry trade unless Lowry wants a trade.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Like, we don't really make a trade unless he asks for one, you know. Or yeah, like if we were thinking about it, we consulted with him, yeah, and he gives us the go ahead to, you know, to, yeah, go ahead. And I feel like it has to be, you know, his choice on where he wants to go. I feel like we own that, you know.
Yeah.
We can't send him anywhere that's not a contender. Yeah. That too, you know, it has to be a contender just for him, and, you know, give him another chance of getting a ring. You know, and I feel like there's going to be a lot of teams asking for his services come trade deadline. Because, yeah, like you said, like, his numbers aren't going to blow you away, but his numbers are still like, yo, he can still do it. Like, he's averaging like 17, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. Like, that, hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That is pretty good. Right? Like,
and obviously, he has the leadership qualities that pretty much every team requires. And I don't want to talk about the Lowry trade so much, because whatever, if it happens, happens. If it doesn't, doesn't. What I do want to talk about is, if he leaves, how are you feeling based on what you've seen recently of Fred as being the number one guy in terms, like the number starting point guard? Like, do you think he's there? I have an opinion there. What do you think? Is Fred ready to take on starting point guard duties? Like, does he have the ball distribution capabilities and all that position entails?
Yeah, I think he's ready. I think he's ready for the role. I still feel like he does need a little bit more work in terms of, you know, being a little bit more consistent, you know, and just like, you know, finishing at the basket, you know, better. But overall, he has to be thrown into the role in order to know whether or not he's fully capable. And I think Lowry has helped him enough, you know, for us to be okay when Lowry leaves and giving Fred the keys, right? So. And I like Fred's mentality. He's always been a guy to, you know, challenge himself and prove other people wrong. You know, I've been watching him since his 905 days. I've been covering him. So I've seen him firsthand grow, right? So, like, I know he's capable of this role, right? So I'll definitely feel at ease. You know, I'll feel good, okay, you know, not really worried, you know, that we have Fred, you know, if Larry, you know, departs.
And I agree, I think Fred is totally ready, man. And I like Fred for similar reasons to why I like Lowry. In that he number one is gritty. Like he plays with his heart on his sleeve. He's a tough guy. He's a better defender than Lowry, to be, you know, when it's all said and done. I think he's got range. Yes, he's not a great finisher at the rim yet, but he has improved. And just like you mentioned when talking about Siakam, you got to judge a guy on how much he has improved versus the absolute quality of his product at this moment in time. And to me, Fred has improved considerably in pretty much every single category since the season started. He's also undersized, kind of like Lowry, gritty, backs people out, like he uses his frame really well. He's not as good a passer in tight positions like Lowry is. Like, he's not going to squeeze in a pass between two big men. Like, Lowry had a couple of passes against Orlando, which were just...
Yeah, man. That one where he found Terrence?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I was like, okay, Lowry.
So Dave, I mean, Fred may not have that level of passing yet, but I think if you look at his trajectory,
yeah,
and you compare to how old Lowry is and how old Fred is, and you kind of calculate a trajectory, you're looking at a guy, if he even continues improving, you know, half of what he has so far every year, you're going to get very likely an all-star caliber player. So why would you not hand over the point guard duties to him?
Exactly. It's like you said, you look at his trajectory and how he's been improving. And, you know, the years that he has on his contract, man, you just get excited, right? Because, you know, he's going to put in the work. So it's like, why not? Just like you said, like, why not give him the keys, right? He needs the keys,
yeah.
Right? So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm good with it too, man. I feel very confident about that one. Don, man, thank you for coming on and talking, and good luck with ATB News. Keep selling those jerseys, man. I'll be buying some more as soon as we go out and we actually are able to wear those outside. And my wife actually wears one. She wears one all the time. It's the tracksuit. She loves it.
Oh, that's amazing, man. I love to hear it. I really do, man. Like, we put a lot of work into, you know, our creative ideas and, you know, kind of getting these creative, you know, like, projects out there. So it's great to see, you know, that people love it and, you know, they're wearing it. And we just got to do more. Just like you said, man, like, you know, we're just going to just do more, do better.